We welcome all of you to our Christmas Eve service. Before we begin, I'd just like to make a couple of announcements, a couple of places in the order of service that I'd like to just point out. Under part two, with the hymn, Once in Royal David City, please note that the choir and the congregation will join in stanza one, and then the congregation will not sing as the choir sings the rest of the verses. And then also under part four, you'll notice after Caroline Scheib's first narration that there is a recitation of all children and the congregation. So please join the children for that recitation of Ephesians 2. And then toward the end, after the Lord's Prayer, please be seated, and there'll be a short organ-piano duet before the benediction. After the service, the Sunday school children will go out with me. We have some bags for them, and also we have some little Christmas bags for the other children who are here this evening. There are peanuts in the bags that are in here, but there are five bags on the counter in the kitchen that don't have any peanuts with them. And I tried to be careful about not having any peanut dust on my hand or anything while I filled those. So if your child would like a Christmas bag with no peanuts in, there's a couple also there in the kitchen. So after the ringing of the bells and the lighting of the candles, we'll begin our service. Relax, enjoy the afternoon. Think about the wonderful meaning of the birth of our Savior as our leaders and our children lead us in worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Declare his glory among the nations. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes.
He comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world in righteousness.
And
know how important it is to have a solid foundation in a building. A building with a weak foundation may stand for a time, but eventually it will topple. Tonight, we once again listen to the account of the birth of our Savior Jesus. Why do we set aside a time to do this every year? The answer is that this truth is the foundation of our faith. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:11, No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. As we close out our celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, we are reminded how God used Martin Luther to restore to the church the true teachings of Scripture. Luther summarized those teachings in five short statements called solas, Latin for alone. By Scripture alone, by faith alone, through Christ alone, to God's glory alone, and by grace alone. These phrases form the foundation of the Lutheran Church, and because they are rooted in Scripture, they form the foundation of the Christian faith.
When the earth was new and people lived for hundreds of years, information was passed down from one generation to the next by word of mouth. Many generations were able to talk directly with Adam and Eve about the Garden of Eden, their fall into sin, and God's promise of a Savior. As the first people began dying and the number of generations increased, it became necessary to record God's promises. God tells us through his disciple Peter how this took place. So how do we know that the baby whose birth we are celebrating is our Savior? Because Scripture tells us. That news can be found nowhere else but in God's Word. God gave his people prophecies, pictures of coming events, so they would recognize the Messiah when he came.
The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. Jeremiah 33:14-16.
In the 11th chapter of the letter to Hebrews, we find a definition for faith. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. When we receive unsettling news, our reaction might be to doubt the truth of this news. Tonight we see in Mary an example of a strong faith as she reacts to some potentially startling news.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Mary was chosen by God to give birth to the Savior. Mary was not special in and of herself, but by faith, a gift of the Holy Spirit. She trusted God and His Word. Many people today say they have faith, but too often it is in someone or something that provides no lasting foundation. Scripture tells us that there is only one sure foundation for our faith, Jesus Christ. Thousands of years after making the first promise of a Savior, God finally sent the Messiah. Listen again to those familiar words proclaiming Jesus' birth.
"In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them." Luke 2:1-7.
Yeah.
Matthew, the author of the first book of the Bible's New Testament, records the angel's instructions to Joseph concerning Mary's child. So we give God alone all the glory and thankfulness for sending his Son to save us. Yes, tonight we see a humble baby in a manger, but the Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the Philippians of Jesus' honored place. They praised God after telling the shepherds the news of Jesus' birth.
There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Luke 2:8-14.
Thank you.
In the next few days, many of you will be opening your Christmas gifts. What did you do to earn those gifts? The moment we do something to earn them, they are no longer gifts. Out of love for us, God gave us the most precious gift on that first Christmas night, the Savior who lived a perfect life and suffered and died to pay for our sins. Our sinful nature wants nothing to do with God and His precious gifts. Despite that fact, God loves us still. God's love is undeserved. That is grace, the Apostle Paul reminds us. After you have opened your gifts, do you keep quiet about them, or do you tell all your friends what you've received? When the shepherds saw God's gift to the world, they did not keep the news to themselves. They spread the word so that others could experience God's grace too.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2:15-20.
please join me in the responsive prayer printed in your worship folder. Following that prayer, we'll join in the older, more familiar wording of the Lord's Prayer. We pray. God, our wonderful counselor, in your word you reveal to us who you are and what we are. Mighty God, you provide us with certain hope and redeem us from our sin. Everlasting Father, you rule the universe, the church, and the hearts of your people. Prince of Peace, your love covers us and fills us and moves us. Faithful God, move us to rejoice in our salvation and to share eagerly this good news with others. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll join now in our closing hymn, Silent Night.